place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Tuesday to you, good people. It is the start of the NFL Scouting Combine. If you're listening to this, I am in Indianapolis for the Scouting Combine, where I am looking forward to catching up with all the latest rumblings across the NFL, as well as learning about the athletic ability and size of the crop of prospects available for the 2019 NFL Draft. The coming days will very much shape the landscape of the NFL Draft and really help us separate some of the closely rated prospects on the board. Also, will give us some information about whether or not certain guys meet certain thresholds, and perhaps there's some players we've talked about that'll get moved down, players that we've talked about that'll wind up getting moved up. And so we've got a big week ahead of us in terms of really solidifying that landscape of prospects for the NFL Draft. But the big part of the week is the interviews. We get a chance to talk with Sean McDermott on Wednesday at 12:15 p.m. and Brandon Bean on Thursday at 10:45 a.m. And so allow me to get to those pressers for you, and then our podcast will be reacting to those on Wednesday and Thursday. So those podcasts will come later in the day, but they will cover the main takeaways, and this is really a good opportunity for us to learn a lot more about the Bills' vision for the offseason and get some nuggets perhaps on how they see the draft class and all kinds of stuff. So we'll break those down for you on Wednesday and Thursday, but today is Twitter Tuesday on the pod, and I thought last week you guys did a great job. This week was even better. So many good discussion points, so many good questions, so many good takes for me to respond to. And we're going to spend the show getting into them. So if you have stuff you want me to get into, hit me up on Twitter and let me know. If you want me to bring it up on a Twitter Tuesday, I'll usually put out a tweet on Sunday or Monday to solicit your responses and items you want me to get into. But if you want to go ahead and get something out there, don't be afraid to hit me up on Twitter at The Joe Marino. The podcast can be followed at Locked On Bills. Notice we got a new logo for the podcast. So hopefully you guys see that. It's a little fresher, a little more modern looking. So I like it. I didn't design it. So if you don't like it, I'm not taking responsibility for that. But the Locked On Podcast Network has blessed us with new logos. And of course, we've got the fresh one for you here on the Locked On Bills podcast. All right, so let's get into the takes that you guys have, the questions that you have. First one comes from Intangibles NFL Pod. It says the Bills should sign Devontae Parker when he gets released and trade for Antonio Brown. The terms of that trade being a 2019 third and the 2020 first to give Josh Allen the weapons he needs. Hashtag Bills Mafia. Hashtag takes on takes. Hashtag Twitter Tuesday. Hashtag Locked On Bills. Hashtag how many hashtags will you read out loud? All of them, sir. I'll read them all. So thanks for the fun there with the hashtags. But I know what people really care about is what I think about this. So should the Bills sign Devontae Parker? Yeah, I'm good with that. I think there's an interesting idea, right? Former first-round pick for the Dolphins. Maybe there's something to salvage with his career. Guy's been banged up a ton. You know, that's something we've got to mention with him. He's been hurt, and he's underperformed. And so here's the thing. A hurt guy and an underperformed guy with talent's interesting, but you can't go into this thing, you know, hedging your bets on Devontae Parker being your answers at wide receiver. And I know that you mentioned trading for AB as part of this solution, giving up a first and a third. I could not be less for that. I know Antonio Brown's a top five wide receiver in the NFL, but given his age, given his the way he is, right, just like the type of personality he is, I just don't know that he's going to fit the Bills locker room. And, you know, I think you've heard Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean talk plenty about you know, how they're building a football team and not collecting talent, and they're very picky about the people they bring in. I just don't see the Bills as a team that is going to bring in Antonio Brown. And for me, like, strip what I think will happen and whether I would do it, I'm not giving up a one and a three for Antonio Brown. I'm just not going to do it. Not looking at this Buffalo Bills team right now, where it is in its rebuild, what's coming. I just feel like that's way too many critical assets to invest in a player that I don't know has much longevity left, and I want to build with this core young nucleus of players. I think Antonio Brown's just kind of outside that for me. So I love the idea of really blitzing the wide receiver position with a couple of talented players that would give Josh Allen some good weapons. Yeah, I'm not against that. I just don't love the AB part of this, and I especially don't love for a one and a three. Although Devontae Parker, I think, would be a worthy signing. He just can't be the guy that you bet on to really be the feature point of the passing game in terms of him being the answer that you're looking for at receiver this offseason. Let's go to Brian Haynes here, who says, a lot of talk about the Bills possibly trading back, but nobody has mentioned a move up. Is there a player worth a move up from 9 if things start to fall the way they are? Hashtag Twitter Tuesday. So the concept here is the Bills moving up. Well, I think it's something we got to talk about because the Bills have done that. They moved up for Josh Allen. They moved up for Tremaine Edmonds. They moved up for Zay Jones. They moved up for Deion Dawkins. So the Bills are not afraid to move up if they like a player. So the two players that I keep getting back to when I think about the Bills at number 9 and the players that I would want them to select, Florida offensive tackle Juwan Taylor, Ole Miss wide receiver DK Metcalf. The more I think about it, the less I am comfortable with thinking they're going to be there at 9. I think DK Metcalf's going to blow up the combine, and we're going to start talking about him as early as 3 to the Jets and as late as 8 to the Lions. With Juwan Taylor, I think he's absolutely in play at number 3 to the Jets, who need offensive line help. I don't think Oakland's out of the picture. I don't think the Giants are out of the picture. So, I think there are landmines along at Tampa Bay, a team that's going to a vertical passing game that needs to protect for Jameis Winston. You don't think they're going to want to get a quality left tackle or a quality right tackle in Juwan Taylor? I just am very nervous about those two players getting to 9. And those are the two players that I want the Bills to draft, one of those two players. And so if they're going to trade up, I almost feel like it's the same discussion about the same players to move up and get them. Now, if something crazy happens like Quinnen Williams or Nick Bosa somehow slide, yeah, I think those are players worth trading up for. But for the Bills, I think what I like about this idea, Brian, is that I think the Bills need to get a high-impact player. And if you think one of these guys is really going to be a super high-impact player, a guy that's going to be a Pro Bowler that competes for Pro Bowls every year that we talk about among the best in his position, that really is a player that other teams need to game plan against, a dude, a real game changer, then I say you go get that guy. And I love draft picks and all that type of stuff, but the reality here is if you think there's a real difference maker, I'm not afraid to move up and get him. And I named 4 players there that I think would be interesting to move up for. Now, with that said, there's 4 players there. We have to get 9 spots. So if those 4 players, you think about a couple quarterbacks and maybe linebacker and Devin White, you think about Josh Allen, the edge from Kentucky, and maybe there's just a scenario where it's a numbers thing, and so that you think realistically one of these impact players is going to get to 9. So on one hand, you just might not need to move up, and it might be worth being patient and letting the board fall to you and still being able to get a true difference maker there at 9. All right, so there's a long answer for you, Brian, but I appreciate that question. It's not something we've talked much about. The next two, I'm going to kind of combine these two because I think they kind of go hand in hand. One comes from Noah Aderman. Noah says, Bills make a splash with a trade for a wide receiver who is not a free agent. And then just to kind of dig into that a little bit, it's hard. I like the idea here, and I don't think that Bean's afraid to make a trade, obviously. But what names are we talking about? Antonio Brown, I just talked about that. I'm not really behind that. Are we talking about who? What Odell Beckham? Nah, the Bills aren't gonna trade for Odell Beckham. It's not gonna happen. So it's interesting that Ancor, at Ancor Sharma, he says, my hot take, the Bills will trade a second round pick for AJ Green. All right, now we're talking. Now I'm perked up a little. I think this is interesting. A number 2, so that'd be the 40th pick in the draft for AJ Green. So let's talk about AJ Green, 30 years old. Everybody knows when he's healthy, he's among the best receivers in the game. He's coming off injury. He only played 9 games last year, had a good season through 9 games. He just didn't finish. He was hurt. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He comes at a $15 million cap hit. He's 31 years old. So he's 30, but he's basically 31. He'll be 32 after the season. So is it a 1-year thing? How many good years does AJ Green have left? Do you think you can get him on an extension? If you can get a 3-year deal out of him, you know, that I think I start getting interested in that, right? I'm not trading pick 40 for AJ Green on a 1-year rental. I don't think the Bills are in the business of renting players. Like, we need long-term solutions, guys that are going to be the nucleus of the roster. So, I don't hate it. I'd like to know more about whether or not AJ is a long-term guy. Can we get 3 seasons out of him? I'm not interested in one. I'm not interested in pick 40 for 1 season. Now, I'm not going to trade away 4 seasons of a rookie that I can get at number 40, who I think, I believe in your ability to get a good player at 40. I'm not doing that for 1 season of AJ Green. Even if that 1 season nets you a compensatory pick or something like that, that's pretty good. I feel like, you know, every day AJ Green's not, I mean, he's on the backside of his career. We just have to accept that. Still think he could be an impact player. I think he'd be a good fit for the Bills. I think that'd be a great target. So that's interesting. I think you piqued my interest more than anything when it comes to wide receivers and trades. Here's the thing also, like, veterans for draft picks, they don't normally go for like this high, right? Like, you see players move around, you're like, it's not that high of a pick. So I don't think I call up Cincinnati and say, hey, we'll give you a 2 for AJ Green. You know, if they're wanting to move on, if they're wanting to get the cap space, they like some of their younger guys, which, I mean, they've invested a first round pick in John Ross. They've got Josh Malone. They've got Tyler Boyd. And they got some younger players. You know, if they're looking to get something for him, I don't think I start that conversation with a 2. All right, so that's interesting. AJ Green, if there's a receiver the Bills would trade for, I think that perks me up a little bit. All right, Anthony Marino. We've got to be related, dude. We interact a lot on Twitter. I follow Anthony. We got the same last name going, man. Somehow we're related. We got to figure that out somehow. Anthony says, is number 9 too early for the Bills to draft a tight end? Hashtag Hockenson. So here's the thing with me about this tight end thing with the Bills, and I did an entire show last week on fixing the Bills' tight end position, and so I'd encourage you to listen to it, but I kind of dismiss the idea of a tight end at number 9, and the reason is because I just feel like your immediate returns on tight ends is generally pretty poor. You don't see a lot of rookie tight ends really taking over the league right away. And now I think if there is one that could do that, it's Hockenson, because I think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to be a Travis Kelce-type impact player. And so, yeah, that's probably worth the number 9 pick if I'm right about that. Now, with that said, I just feel like I need to know more about what the Bills do in free agency in terms of fixing the offensive line and maybe getting a receiver. I just have to – I just don't know right now that I'm cool with it. I need to see how things go. So if I feel more comfortable about where the Bills are, because I think they have critical needs. I think they have critical needs at offensive tackle. I think they have critical needs at wide receiver, defensive tackle. And then we start talking about tight end. And so I just don't feel comfortable at tight end at 9 with the other critical needs at huge, hugely important positions for the Bills. All right. Here we go. Let's move on to Cottonmouth, at Cottonmouth. He says, I'm still bullish on Ed Oliver, the Houston defensive tackle. What are his real weaknesses? I like Ed Oliver a ton. If the Bills picked Ed Oliver at number 9, you would not hear any gripes from me. What's pushing, quote unquote, pushing Oliver down is that some things didn't go his way this year, right? Like, he was hurt a little bit with that knee injury. He had that altercation on the sideline, and now it feels like everybody finally learned that he's not that big. I was at ECU for the Houston ECU game. I went there because I wanted to see Ed Oliver. I was on the field, and I stood next to Ed Oliver for 30 minutes watching him warm up and trying to gauge his size. And we'll find out if I'm a good predictor or not, but I think that Ed Oliver, when he checks in at the combine here in a few days, he's going to check in between 6'1" and 6'2". He's going to weigh between 270 and 280 pounds. And that is not what we're looking for in defensive tackles, right? He's just a small guy. And so anytime you talk about size deficiencies with a prospect that we perceive as elite, it's something that's going to push them down. And you think about Ed, you know, he dominated, but he did it against the AAC. He you watch his tape. I mean, he just wins with quickness. He's just quicker than everyone else, and he plays with such great leverage. He torques and twists, and he's flexible, but he really is able to win with that quickness. He's got some work to do with in terms of developing hand technique and developing a pass rush plan. So he's a little more raw than maybe some people care to admit. So I can kind of see some of the concerns that, hey, this isn't the number one overall pick. Because that's the, when the odds came out initially, the first odds came out, the favorite to be the number one pick in the draft was Ed Oliver. And so his slide, if you will, now that we're a few months away from the draft, heading into the combine, you know, we're not talking about Ed Oliver as the first overall pick anymore. And so, yeah, there is this slide. So you asked what his weaknesses are. I told you. I still think he's one of the best players in this draft. I'd love for the Bills to get him at 9. That would solve one of the critical needs at defensive tackle. I know that doesn't help Josh Allen. That's something we have to deal with elsewhere. But that's the story, in my opinion, on Ed Oliver. Moving on here to Tony Barton. Does trading for Joe Flacco inhibit the Denver Broncos financially from re-signing Matt Paradis? And obviously you guys have heard me talk about Matt Paradis and my desire for the Bills to go after him. And so I do think it obviously does hurt that possibility. The Denver Broncos have $18 million in cap space. It's not a ton. Bringing in Joe Flacco is an $18.5 million hit. So look at this. The Broncos are, to Joe Flacco and Case Keenum combined, they are paying out $39 million to those two players, over 20% of their salary cap for 2019 is committed to Keenum and Flacco. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so look, we need to see what happens here. I don't know. I mean, they can release Keenum, but it's still going to cost them $11 million against their cap. So he's got a $21 million cap hit. He's got a $10 million dead cap. He carries $10 million in cap hit. So he's still going to, it's still a lot of money. So here's the thing. Yeah, it does. I don't know if they're going to be able to move on from Case Keenum. Maybe they want him to be the number two. I'm not sure. But yeah, this does restrict them a bit. That's $18 million. I think that Matt Paradis is going to get a contract 10, 11, 12 million a season. And so depending on how that's structured, that's going to eat away pretty heavily at what Denver has available. They've also got a ton of other free agents. Now, I'm not sure how many of these guys are priority guys, but they're, you know, they got some older guys in Valdir and DeMonta Pecco and Tremaine Brock that are free agents, but they might want to go ahead and bring back Shaq Barrett and Shane Ray and Bradley Roby. You know, they got some guys that they have to consider here. Plus, they got to sign their draft picks. Plus, they probably, I mean, this is not a good football team. They have holes to fill. So it's going to be interesting to see what Denver does. But yeah, bringing in Flacco is good for the possibility that they don't bring back Matt Paradis. So I think that's kind of what we're all interested in. And I do think that it makes it more challenging. Now, the salary cap in the NFL is a funny thing. We talked with Mike Gennetti from Spot Rack a week and a half ago. We talked about salary cap and how teams have a lot more flexibility than it seems a lot of times. And, you know, there's things that teams can do to get cap space. So if they really, really want Paradis back, they could probably do it. But I think all the indications are that Paradis is going to hit the market. The Bills are going to have a chance to go after and get him. Next up, we have California Buffalo. And it's at Buffalo JM. Interesting. He says, a lot of people have been talking about free agent wide receiver Antonio Brown and who we draft at the receiver position. I think people have forgotten about moved on from Duke Williams signing. What are your thoughts about what he can do for the Bills or what he could be for the Bills? One of the first things I talked about when I got this podcast was Duke Williams. And there was a lot of reaction to that signing, and I love that. I think that's Buffalo Bills fans in a nutshell, where everything matters. You guys care about every single piece of the operation, and there was a lot of questions about it. Like, it was just a huge reaction, and I think the reality is this. I'm not relying on much for Duke Williams. Duke Williams being part of the equation does not impact my plan to improve the wide receiver position whatsoever. I think you took a very, very small risk on a player that has some upside with his size, has done well for himself in the CFL, and tons of question marks coming out of Auburn. And it's very low risk, and it's even like we talked about Devontae Parker, and if the Bills were to go after him, and how you just don't, there's no way you say, okay, our problems are answered here. And I think even to a further degree, I don't think you think about Duke Williams and saying, hey, we've got something here. I don't think you can count on anything. Anything you get from Duke Williams, a futures contract guy signed in January, is a bonus. Now, I'm not saying he can't become a star in the NFL and all those types of things, but I'm not counting on much, and anything we get from Duke is a bonus. There are plenty of reasons to be interested and intrigued, but at the same time, let's call it what it is. A futures contract receiver signed in January. Often, more often than not, that turns into nothing. So we'll see. Ryan Thomas, appreciate you, Ryan. You come in and you said, if Joe Marino was a general manager of the Buffalo Bills, scary thought, folks, scary thought. Who is he selecting with the number 9 overall pick? And you gave me, you know what? I don't like the other option here. You gave me four options. A, DK Metcalf. B, Juwan Taylor. C, TJ Hockenson. Or D, other, hashtag Twitter Tuesday. I'm going to get rid of that D option. I got to pick one of these three. Talked a lot about Hockenson. Love him. Not comfortable saying he's the pick right now at number 9. And now we go back to DK Metcalf and Juwan Taylor, who I changed my mind about, if not daily, multiple times per day, I think of this, about this and who I would rather have. And obviously what the Bills do in free agency will dictate this. But I think they're both similarly valued prospects in my mind. They play different positions. I think DK Metcalf has the most upside of any offensive player in this draft. I think he can be an absolute star wide receiver. He's got size. He's got athletic ability. He's got the ability to create after the catch. He attacks all levels of the field. He is the perfect wide receiver for Josh Allen, in my view. Juwan Taylor, I think, is going to be a star tackle, a guy that's going to create space in the run game. He's going to be a secure pass blocker, and he's really good in space. And so you think about Josh Allen and giving him the time he needs to throw the football. I love that Juwan Taylor can help you there. So right now, right now as I record this podcast, and by the time I'm done recording it, I could change my mind. Give me Juwan Taylor. I think the hard part about me saying that is I leave DK Metcalf on the board. I want them both, guys. I want both of these players. I don't think it's possible to get them both. But the thing is, I need to make sure that, I mean, football games are won in the trenches. And so that's why I feel like every time I really have to force myself to make a hard decision, I go with Taylor for that reason. But if the Bills shore things up in free agency with the offensive line, which they can, we've talked about the options a lot at offensive line to fix things up front, and that becomes not a need, you go ahead and sign Juwan James, or you sign Trent Brown, and you sign Matt Paradis, or you know, any combination of these players that gets this offensive line right, go get DK Metcalf. Don't think twice about it. All right, let's move on here to Brian. Is it Schlesinger? Brian. Brian says, who would be an ideal trade back candidate in round one to get an offensive player, or should they not trade back? Well, I've already kind of talked a little bit about how I think the Bills need to come away with an impact player, a guy that can really be the type of presence that makes teams think about how they play against the Bills, game plan against that player, a real difference maker. So trading back is okay, but I want to make sure that I can still get that difference maker. Players that I think about trading back, Kelvin Harmon from NC State, the wide receiver. He's a physical receiver, runs good routes, wins above the rim. He's got elite play strength. I mean, he is a true power forward. I like, you think about some of these offensive tackles like Dalton Risner from Kansas State. I think he's a plug-and-play guy, can help you right away at right tackle. And Jonah Williams from Alabama, be really comfortable with him trading back a little bit and getting him. Cody Ford from Oklahoma. You know, those are the types of players that come to mind when I talk about trading back. The only receiver I've only got two receivers that I'm comfortable with in the first round. That could change. Right now it's DK Metcalf or Kelvin Harmon. And then, you know, looking at the offensive line, you know, the guys I just mentioned, but if you want to go get that defensive tackle thing right, if you can trade back and get Christian Wilkins, that would be interesting to me. So, yeah, I think trading back's an option. Just want to make sure I get a true difference maker and that I get enough draft capital for it to make sense to leave number nine. And obviously, who's on the board at nine is going to really matter. You know, if the scenario unfolds where the four, you know, I mentioned a number of players already, but if kind of this pool of players that you think would be the best fits at nine are gone, then yeah, I think you do think about trading back. But if one of those players is there, I want to get that sure thing. What, you know, as much of a sure thing as you can. We're talking about the NFL draft. The reality is a lot of these guys bust. All right, we got a couple more here. This one comes from Spartan Hounds at CLE underscore Spartans. He says, Anthony Johnson and Miles Sanders, good fits for the Buffalo offense. Anthony Johnson's a wide receiver from the University of Buffalo. Miles Sanders, running back from Penn State. I've not done Miles Sanders' film study yet, so I'm going to have to defer on that. But I will. I will get to it, and we'll talk about Miles Sanders at some point here. Anthony Johnson, I have watched. I like Anthony Johnson. I think he's got good body control. He runs good routes, catches the ball well, good ball skills. I just think he's very ordinary in terms of athletic ability. And so when I think about his physical skill set, what's the one thing that you can say, this is his trump card. This is why he's going to be successful. And he's an older prospect as well. So for me, I think he's a middling receiver prospect, and I think the Bills have enough of that. So at the right point in the draft, is he interesting? Yes. But for me, when I think about this wide receiver room and really getting, I want impact. I want guys that I feel like can really make an impact. And I don't know that Anthony Johnson has a physical skill set that screams impact wide receiver at the next level. Last one here comes from Corey McLennan. Does this mean anything for the Bills? Excuse me. Does this mean anything for where the Bills may look in the first round? Josh Allen is somewhat frequently compared to Cam Newton, whose top receiving option over the past several seasons has been tight end Greg Olsen. And considering the Carolina connections, Twitter. So I love Corey. I love what you're saying here, because I think when you look at coaches, general managers, the reason they have jobs is because of what they came from, right? So you think about Sean McDermott, you think about Brandon Bean, and it makes a lot of sense to think about the way things were in Carolina, because that Carolina team is why they're general managers and head coaches in the NFL right now. And so I think it's always very wise to look back to get a glimpse at what could happen moving forward. And there's been some plenty of reasons to believe that there's some similarities in the way the teams are built. So tight end, do they think to themselves, okay, the reason that Cam was really good in Carolina was Greg Olsen was a tight end, or he had a quality tight end. I mean, Greg Olsen had three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, just tremendous production. So I do think that that McDermott and Bean have had a firsthand look at how an impact tight end can make a difference for an offense. And so I do think the Bills are going to address the position. Something's going to happen at tight end. Right now, the only one on the roster is Jason Kroom, who I think could probably be that number two tight end. You flex him around and do different things with him, but they don't have a true number one, and they don't really have a true future number one, right? So that's why I did this podcast, where I outlined the plan. I think you go after one of these free agents, whether it's Jesse James or Nick Boyle or Tyler Croft or Max Williams, one of these really ordinary tight ends. That way you have a veteran, a guy that's been in the league that knows how to play the position. And then you go after this tight end class is deep. When we talk about day two, I mean, Irv Smith from Alabama, Isaac Nauta from Georgia, Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M. You can get one of those three guys on day two to compliment Kroom, to compliment that veteran. I think that's how you fix this tight end thing. But yeah, Corey, I like what you're saying there, because I do think there's a lot of good reason to look back and see that impact that Olsen had with Carolina, and for Bean and McDermott to gravitate towards that and want to replicate that in Buffalo. That is going to do it, guys. Thank you so much. Again, tremendous takes and questions provided. We're going to do it again next Tuesday. So be thinking about what you want to bring up. Obviously, the Combine's going to give us so much to talk about. And so maybe let that sizzle a little bit, and then let's hit me up on Monday with some of the stuff that, you know, we learned from the Combine and how it affects the Bills, and we'll dig into all of it for you again on Tuesday. Would encourage you to please subscribe to the podcast. Make sure that you don't miss anything that we're doing. Hit that 5-star review button as well. Love those five-star reviews. Love the written reviews. Thankful for so many of you that have went and take the time to do that. That type of stuff really helps the podcast and lets people, more people know about what's going on here at the Locked On Bills podcast. And lastly, tell a friend, share the podcast. If you're enjoying this, let other people enjoy it as well. Maybe they don't know about the podcast. The numbers are really, really good. So I appreciate all the support to this point. I'll be back again for you on Wednesday. We're going to get into that Sean McDermott interview and break it all down. So make sure you're subscribed. And until then, thanks for listening to the Locked On Bills podcast.